I can't think of a better song to sing, even though it was a new one, to go with what I'm going to be talking about today. If you're new to Sunridge, my name's Britt. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're in this series called Boo. It's all about the things that we're scared of. I want to tell you one thing you don't have to be scared of. I just made up a word. Actually, I used that word in like fifth grade, and I just use it again. But trunk or treat. If I'm just going to tell you something, like when I first heard that we were going to do trunk or treat a couple years ago, I was kind of freaked out about it. Because I had in my mind that it was going to be corny. That, you know, that we're going to be some off the beaten path kind of thing. I'm telling you, it's nothing like that. It is so much fun. It is literally one of the best things I think Sunridge does. There are so many people here from the community. It's so great to just hang out with. Your kids are going to have a blast. They're going to load up on candy like to the bazillions. And we don't give out junky candy. We give out legitimate candy. We're talking chocolate. That bag opens, bam, you're going to get hit with something serious. And there's all kinds of activities and everything. So I hope that if you have kids, you bring your kids. If you know somebody who has kids, you invite them along. I'm telling you, it's going to be super cool. So that's Friday night. So trunk or treat. Today, we're continuing our series on Boo, you know, things that we're scared of. Here's the thing. You know, eventually, if you follow Christ long enough, he's going to scare you. Jesus is going to scare you. You know, at some point in your walk with God, he's going to ask you to do something that's beyond yourself. He's going to want to do something in you, through you, with you. He's going to ask you to do something, to go somewhere, and it's going to scare you. And for some of you, even though you want that, you want this thing that God is calling you to do, you're afraid. Now, I know that there's like a small segment of people on both ends of the spectrum. You have no idea what I'm talking about right now. You've never been scared. You're like, on one end, you're like some kind of like Christian superhero. You're like Captain Chaos. You know, you change all the time. You're always doing wacky things, and you just have never been afraid. And you're like, wow, why isn't everybody else like that? You may not be afraid, but you're scaring everybody else around you, I just want to say. And then some of you are like, you're on the other end of it. You've never been afraid because you are like the Lord. You change not. And you've never been afraid because you found your groove and, you know, you're not leaving that groove. And, you know, you're just going to be just like you are into eternity. In fact, you won't even change in heaven, I'm pretty sure. But most of us are stuck somewhere in the middle. That is, to think about full surrender to God, whatever that might mean, it's like going to a Halloween scare house to you. Do you remember this? I don't even know if they're even in vogue anymore. When I was a youth pastor, I used to take my kids to the Campus Crusade scare house, which I don't know, like there's all kinds of layers of problems with that, but we would go to this thing, and you know, with the scare, it's like people jumping out at you, grabbing at you. There's always the strobe light room with the stripes, people jumping in your face, and every turn has some new cheesy horror waiting for you, right? And you look at full surrender to God like all the committed Christians are standing in line and willingly going into the scare house. And you're standing outside going, okay, have a nice time. I'll see you when you get out. Because the idea of fully committing to Jesus scares you. But you're conflicted inside because you're afraid you're going to miss the thrill. Now, let me be clear about what I'm saying here, what I'm not saying. I'm not saying be dumb or irresponsible or irrational. I'm not saying don't eat your vegetables and don't do your homework and stop flossing your teeth. It's none of those things. But I am saying to you that I can't think of one person in the Bible that God used in a mighty way that he didn't ask them to do something scary. In fact, if you're looking for a fearless life, I just want to tell you today, you should pick another religion. Because Jesus is going to ask you to do something that seems impossible to you at some time in your life. That without full reliance on him and utter abandonment to him, you will not be able to accomplish. And you're going to be tempted to stand back and wave at everybody else going in because you want to play it safe. If you want more than the same old, but you're a little afraid to fully commit to God, I want to talk to you today. I want to share three things that I think will help you step beyond your fears and what it means to fully surrender to Christ. Number one, you have to choose calling over comfort. That's where we start. Because, and this is, I mean, I don't want this to be just another point that just passes us by. You know how important comfort is to us, right? I mean, we build our lives around becoming comfortable. We choose jobs that will make us comfortable. We choose locations that will add to our comfort. It's our pursuit of comfort is woven into almost everything that we do. This year, we bought a new couch in our household. And, you know, we wanted a couch that looked really nice. But, you know, when you buy a couch, like, you test run it, right? If they have that model, it's like, and what are you testing for? Comfort. How does it sit? How does it lay? Which is are both important to me. And there's, I just want to say this, like, if somebody could design a couch that sat really nice and laid really nice, you'd be a gazillionaire. But it's all about me figuring out how can I get more comfortable in my couch. Now, I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. But I am saying that there will be times in following Christ where we have to choose our calling over that comfort. Because comfort will never take you toward becoming a Jesus follower. Comfort will almost always have you dreaming backwards. Let me give you an example. The Israelites escaped from Egypt. They're wandering in the desert, right? And God is sustaining them through manna. Do you know this story? It's like, the best we know, it's like a sticky kind of bread-like substance. But that's all they have. They're no longer in slavery, but they're wandering in the desert eating manna. And in Numbers 11:4, the Israelites start wailing and said, now, I wonder if they were actually wailing about this. But knowing us, I imagine they were. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Really? Slavery has no cost? But we remember this. Also, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Man, it sure was better then. Then they come up to the edge of the land that God has called them to possess, known as Canaan. And when they stand on the edge of that land, they murmur among themselves, and Numbers 14:2 says that they say to one another, wouldn't it be better if we went back to Egypt? It sure was more comfortable there. I mean, it wasn't so bad there, it's not so bad here. Why don't we just stay? Can you imagine how the Bible would change if in that moment the Israelites had not listened to other voices among them and they had just stayed there? How different would their future have been? You see, sometimes being a Christian is hard. And I think we're getting a little wimpy about it today. Because we love our comfort. But comfort, living a life of comfort, is living a life that's less than It doesn't lead to the promised land. It leads to apathy and boredom and a critical spirit. It does not lead us to the thrill of following Jesus. Comfort is a poor substitute for calling. Jesus once said to his followers in Luke 9:23, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Does that sound like a comfortable life? It doesn't, does it? That is not, you know, we're not looking for trouble, we're not looking to be miserable, but there are times in following Jesus where it is an invitation to a life that is not so comfortable. One of the things that I've just been so blown away here at Sunridge is how many of you allow yourselves to be challenged that way. I don't know if you've looked in your program. Have you looked at the response to renovate, which is our plan to improve and refresh our campus because we want our campus to say we were expecting company. And we're already at about $75,000. We're not even completely 1 month in, and we're almost a third of the way to our goal. And you know, like, I'm not trying to promote renovate here. What I'm trying to say is that seeing the gifts and the generosity that have come from this church, I know that when people give to something like that or they give to the general fund, you're giving up some form of your comfort. Maybe you're giving up a comfortable couch. I wouldn't recommend that, but if you want to do so, that's good. If you're bored in your Christian walk, allow God to pry you out of your comfort zone and follow your calling over that. Second thing I think that will help you is to choose trust over safety. You remember throughout this series, we've been saying the idea here isn't to fear less with our fears, but to trust more. And let's just face it, there's a lot to be afraid of right now. I mean, our world is changing so fast. Our war engagement seems to be increasing again. We're wondering, what does America look like in the next election? And regardless of your position, we're living in a post-Christian time in America. You know, the fastest growing religious group in America right now are called the nuns or nons. They're non-affiliated. People don't even feel the necessity to choose a religious affiliation anymore. Christianity is not, or even the notion of Christianity, is not driving us forward. And I think it scares people. I have met with people from our church who have specifically requested to meet with me just to talk about some of the things that they're fearful of in their family. There is a lot to be afraid of. And in the end, you know, have I scared you now? But in the end, it's like it makes you think, you know, I just want to lock my doors and close my blinds and keep my family all safe in the house. If you think that, I want to tell you, I'm going to give you some bad news. There is no more dangerous place to be than in your home. Did you know that? Did you know that statistically in America, there are 33.5 million injuries every year that occur in the American home? That is more than half. If you just say, where do people get hurt location-wise? The American home is more than half of everything else put together. That means work, the street, recreation areas, other, you put it all together, more people getting hurt at home than anywhere else. It's not safe at home either. You know, there are 235,000 emergency room visits a year from injuries that occurred in the bathroom. Yeah, most of them are in the shower, but 14% are on the toilet. And more than half of the injuries occurring in the bathroom occur to women. So I don't know what you ladies are doing in there, but you need to be more careful. Bring the average down a little bit. I read a book once by John Ortberg, and he had some statistics about injuries in the American home. And he said that 4,000 injuries a year occur from pillows. I know I'm getting to that age where I'm getting hurt in my sleep. You know, I wake up, I didn't do anything, I slept, I woke up, my back hurts. I don't know what that is, but I'm getting hurt on my mattress somehow. I love the story of Peter because he's a guy that chose trust over safety. And you know the story about Peter walking on the water. The background is that, you know, Jesus puts them in the boat and he remains on land to pray. And as the disciples are in the boat, all these the wind and the waves come up and they see Jesus walking on the water. And in the way Matthew records it in Matthew 14, Peter sees Jesus and he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you out on the water." He says, "Come on out." And then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water. Don't just let that slip by. He walked on the water and he came towards Jesus. So where's his focus then? And then in verse 30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He began to sink. And he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" Can you relate to that story in some way? I know you probably haven't tried to walk on water. If you have, then you probably need counseling. But have you ever tried something for the glory of God and then you got out there and it felt like maybe God didn't come through for you? Seemed like a good idea at the time. And then challenges came and you got scared. It wasn't going like you thought it was going. It's kind of ironic that Peter would think walking on the water is easy, but I don't want to pick on him. But his response, "Lord, save me," it says something about who Peter was. And I think that this, you know how bold he was in the future for the gospel's sake. And I can't help but believe that occurrences like this informed his understanding and his trust of God as he moved forward into some of the scary things that Peter did in his life. And this instance says that God is trustworthy because Jesus grabs him by the hand and takes him back to the boat. And many preachers malign Peter for this story. And I see it totally differently. You know that when he got back in the boat, the disciples were snickering a little because he failed. But he could look at him and say, "Yeah, but I was doing it." And as they walked away from that, there were two stories that got told. There was a story about Peter's failure, probably told by those who sat back and let him go and witnessed it. And then there's the story of God saving Peter in the middle of this tremendous risk that he took. He chose trust over safety. In John 14:1, Jesus said, "Don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Trust in God, trust also in me." I think if we're going to step out of our comfort zone and beyond the things that we're afraid of, we have to trust God more than fear the experience that we have. Lastly, we need to choose surrender over certainty. Certainty means I know the end. I know how this thing works out. I want to eliminate the unsafeness and guarantee the outcome, and I want it to be without problems. And God, I'm willing to do anything that you call me to do. Just tell me from the beginning that it will all work out fine and that it won't cause me any pain. There's this period in the history of the nation of Israel. They've, you know, early on, they're patriarchal. Tribe, and you know, these are the times of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, and they're, you know, there's no real organization. They're just led as a tribe, Then there's a time where they're in slavery to Egypt and they escape, and there's still no real government that they have. And after they've moved into the land to possess it, they're in this time that the Old Testament calls a period of the judges. These are, it's not like so much an organized leadership, but it seems that God raises up people for different reasons, for different times. And one of these are referred to as judges, and one of those judges' name is Gideon. And Gideon lives during a time in which Israel's in their land, but they're being tested constantly by warring tribes, their neighbors. And a group of neighbors led by the Midianites kind of band together, and they're going to challenge Israel. And God raises up this man Gideon from the tribe of Manasseh, which is one of the smaller tribes, which might say something about how the story is going to go. And he raises up Gideon and he says, I want you to put together an army. So he does just like the neighboring tribes do. He gathers up a few tribes. He says, you know, we're going to put together an army just like they did. We're going to go to war. And as a good leader, he's like, I'm planned. I have my crew. I got this. And then in Judges 7, the Lord says to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. You have too many. Can you have too many? In this case, you could. And so he says, Gideon, tell everybody who's too scared to go to battle to go home. So he does that. And over a third leave. They go from a crew of 32,000 down to 10,000. You're like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. I'll go. I'm scared. So he has 10,000, which is still decent. And then God says to him, you still have too many. So here's how I prescribe that you sort out your army. And in Judges 7, verse 5, he says, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. So he says, let them all come to a place to drink, maybe a river or a lake. And I want you to watch how they drink. Do they just bury their head in the water and get down on their knees? Or do they kind of squat and do this, which the Bible doesn't say this is what's happening, but likely what you're observing is people who are on alert. And only 300 of them drink the water like this. So in verse 6, 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths, and all the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that have lapped, I will save you. And I'll give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place. And so now Gideon is faced with battling this humongous army with only 300. God takes away his certainty. And so that kind of pressure causes him to be kind of creative, and they come up with a plan in which they totally shock the Midianites in their camp. They all have trumpets. They have a jar that has a torch in it, and they shock the Midianites in their camp at night by blowing their horns and breaking these jars that hid the light, and all of a sudden it looks to the Midianites like they're surrounded by thousands and thousands, like the shock factor, and they flee. And God gives Gideon this victory with only 300 people. But it took Gideon to surrender to this plan rather than to rely on the certainty that he, and of course we, would prefer. I would love to give each one of us that great certainty. I don't know what your scare house is. If I could say, if I could promise, like, if you do this, then this will happen. But nobody can say that. I can't say it as a pastor. Your husband or your wife can't say it. Your friends can't say it. There's something that scares you when you think about full surrender to Jesus. And yet there's this gap in which You're going to have to trust. You're going to have to push comfort aside. And the odds might be stacked against you. I love Paul's words to the Thessalonians in his first letter. He says, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Even if this thing, you do not have complete certainty in this thing, there's risk involved. There's this promise. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect, but we know who calls us to do something. And if God is calling me to do it, I don't need the certainty of my circumstances. I just need trust in him. Now, I want to show a video to you. It's 7 minutes long, and there's a lot of reasons why I love this video, but it's taken the online world by storm. It's Chip and Joanna Gaines, and you might have heard of them, and it just recently got posted just about a week ago. It's from the I Am Second series, and I want you to see this video with in mind what we've just talked about, and then I want to come up and just wrap our thoughts up and we'll be done, okay? Could we roll the video?
The shows I was always drawn to when I was younger were the ones where you'd have this really nerdy character that kind of hid in the background. And then you have this kind of jock, everyone loved, most popular guy in school. And he sees this person, this girl who looks scared and who definitely isn't trying to get any attention on herself, and he sees the potential in her, and somehow he uncovers this whole new identity for this girl. That's hard. Favorite thing about Chip. If you give Chip a boundary, he's gonna break that boundary. If you give him a rule, he's not gonna follow it. And if you tell him he can't go past this line, put his toe over it.
Joanna is like the purest, most stable person I've ever met.
I like safety. I like knowing what's coming. I don't wanna be surprised. I don't know if we would have dated in college if we would have known each other.
My wife is a bit of a wallflower. You know, I joke with her pretty publicly that she was almost awkward when we first met.
You know, he always jokes I'm the guy in the relationship. Because when he wants to talk and dig, I don't want to talk. I just want to eat my fries.
I would have been the guy on a horseback riding off into the wilderness. I mean, that's who I sort of was by nature. And Joe could not be more opposite than that.
Fear and failure doesn't even cross his mind. He doesn't let that even go through one ear and out the other.
The little voice in your ear that talks when you're being quiet, my little voice tells me how handsome I am, tells me how funny I am, tells me how rich I'm gonna be. You know, it's just constantly talking.
You can't censor Chip.
I used to drive my truck and I would play a little game with myself to see how out of gas I could get without in fact running completely out of gas. And she was like, why would anybody want to play that?
For someone who is a rule follower to a T, it's an adventure.
I think, like, loving somebody is top rolled down, James Dean and whomever, flying through the mountains, going too fast, reckless. And your idea was, no, bubble tape. Yeah. Sitting around.
Wrapped up.
Eating church's chicken.
If I didn't have Chip Gaines in my life, I'd still be dreaming in my head, but not acting out on any of that, not living it out. You push me. You push me out of my comfort zone. I like comfortable. I like predictable. Mm-hmm. And you push me.
Am I any of those?
No.
Not comfortable or predictable?
You're comfortable in that you're consistent in just who you are as Chip, but you're definitely not predictable.
I think that's one of the reasons that I love her like I do. I mean, I feel like she knows me in a way that has caused me to stop acting. You know, I feel like I've really been an actor. I've been a character my whole life. I've always tried to prove something to someone. Do the microphone thing. That makes me feel more comfortable. Remember the time that I came home from that guy's trip in East Texas? Do I look fat?
Just make sure your jeans aren't too tight. You know what I mean?
Do I look comfortable?
No, just your jeans were real tight right there. Aren't you? Just like that.
Watch everything. When I caught her, I finally felt content for the first time in my life. I felt like I could be exactly who I was.
Look at you, sexy mama. Showing some skin.
I see that. That's interesting. I have learned so much about order and structure and processes through my wife. And God is all of those things to me now. But at the beginning, God was just chaotic to me. He was wild. He was untamed. He was unruly. And I liked that.
But God had a funny way of bringing me Chip to almost have this reality of what it's like to follow Christ, which is a lot of the things are going to push you to a place of discomfort. A lot of things are going to push you to a place of freaking out. It takes someone who's externally because it helps me get it out there, because it's healthier to be out there than it is just let it all kind of play in my mind. I don't want to be in the box anymore. I don't want to play it safe, because where the impact is over here on the other side.
You were like a flower in desperate need of water. You blossomed in a way that was really fascinating to watch.
I was made for a reason, and I need to let whatever God has created me for, that needs to be known. I don't need to stay hidden. With God when I was little and all the way up until like my 20s was always, if you play by the rules, you'll be blessed. But then I met Chip, and I feel like now it's when you take a step out in faith, when it makes absolutely no sense, I think that's where the greater reward is. There's no telling where that will take you. My name is Joanna Gaines, and I am second.
And I'm Chip Gaines, and I am second.
Was that Chip?
I don't think so.
I think so.
Let's try that again.
Oh.
Well, I hope you were as touched by that video as I was. I love their show. I still want Chip to be my best buddy. Come over and play with my tools, but what's great about that story is not just their story together, but you see how God pushed her out of that comfort zone and what has happened. He used Chip in her life. And I'm wondering if there aren't people here today at Sunridge that you're all bound up inside and you're standing in line and you're watching all the other committed Christians do things. And you'd love to go in, but you're scared. I hope that their story reached you, maybe in a different way than my words have today. I don't know that God is telling you to start a remodeling show on HGTV. He might be. You got a lot of competition. But it might be nudging you in other ways. For some of you, it's simple obedience. I think that some of you are like hanging back from fully committing in your relationship with God. I mean, we have a baptism coming up, you know, and I'm wondering like how many people who you have confessed faith and you've never followed Jesus in baptism, mainly because you're just afraid to be up front. Or maybe you're afraid to step outside of your comfort zone in the things that maybe God wants you to do. Or maybe he wants to change something about you on the inside and you're afraid to relinquish that to him in these just simple obedience steps. Or maybe you're afraid to give God your finances. Really. I mean, stay out of there, God. For some of you, it's even more basic than that. It's, you know, just to make confession of faith. To like pray and place your faith in Christ is a scary thing because, you know, there's all this wacky stuff and that's out there in the Christian community, or you don't understand all the parts, and or, you know, you have questions about this or that. And it's like that fear holds you back from even just crying out to God and receiving the gospel. Some of you, it's not even like starting something. It's quitting something. You're afraid to quit. There's a toxic relationship or you have an addiction, and that feels more comfortable to you. That slavery feels safer and more comfortable and less challenging than relinquishing it and stepping into the life that God is calling you to live. And then some of you, you're dreaming the biggest dreams. You're thinking of doing things for Christ. You're thinking of taking a step in your faith, and yet there's this fear that holds you back. Again, I'm not saying don't do your homework, but don't let fear hold you back. I can't promise you that in any of these decisions that it will go perfectly. In fact, I can almost guarantee you that it won't be safe, it won't be certain, and it won't be comfortable. But it just might be awesome. And likely, it will change you. And it might change somebody else. Let's pray. God, our prayer for this church, as a church corporately and together and for us as individuals, is that you would help us to overcome the fearful things that lie ahead of us in full surrender to you, to relinquish the need for certainty and comfort and safety and abandon ourselves in a wise and God-called way to the thing, the next step for us in following you. In Jesus' name, amen.